not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. It's Wednesday. It feels like Tuesday to me. Anyway, I was so far behind yesterday, it wasn't even funny. I thought yesterday was OCA day. It was actually Stockman's Vet Day. So you know what? We're going to do something special today. We're going to do Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour today, and also the Taylor Ranch happy hour today. I'll be all caught up and be back on schedule tomorrow. That's how easy this thing works. Let's check out some temperatures right now. Altus, Oklahoma, 81 degrees. You're the hot spot in the whole state of Oklahoma. Running a close second is Mangum, Freedom, and Alva. They're all at 80 degrees. And so is Walters. 76 degrees at Arnett, home of the world-famous Lori Campbell. 78 at Slapout. 79 at Cherokee. And out here in the panhandle of the big state of Texas, 76 at Lipscomb. 76 at Miami. 77 at Dozer. Wallington, 79 degrees. Goodlet, 80 degrees. And Odell, right across the river bridge, 78 degrees. Anyway, I just got a report, text message actually, from I text my friend down there around El Dorado to see how things were going after the tornado, because I know the Bobby Martin and R&R Powerline, they've been down there putting new power poles in, and so I know they're still cleaning up damage from down in that area. And anyway, I asked Spencer how things were going down there in southwestern Oklahoma, and he said, we're making forward progress every day. The good Lord sends, still cleaning up and trying to get back to normal, whatever normal is for us. He said that they were a lot better than a lot of people. We need a rain. It keeps going around us. Yes, sir. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of people still needing rains. I got 3 tenths last night. I think south of the river, they got 4 tenths, and in just a couple more miles, friends of mine down there got 9 tenths last night, and I think we got 3 tenths here in Elk City. I haven't checked anywhere else. Anyway, welcome. We'll take it 3-4 tenths at a time, but anyway, I think there's a pretty good chance of some good rain coming in the morning, through the night maybe. Nothing severe, but anyway, got some rains coming. Hopefully we get some. All we can do is cross our fingers. Let's see what happened overnight in our big agriculture world. Soybean and grain futures were little changed in overnight trading as investors weighed planting progress and steady wheat conditions against adverse weather in some parts of the world. About 68% of the U.S. soybeans were planted at the start of the week, up from 52% 7 days earlier, and prior five-year average is 63%, according to the Department of Agriculture. 39% of the crop has emerged as a Sunday, up from 26% a week earlier, and the average is 36%. Some 83% of the corn crop is in the ground, up from 70% last week, and the normal is 82% for this time of the year. 58% have emerged and versus 40% 7 days earlier, but on par with the average. Spring wheat sowing was 88% complete as of Sunday, up from 79% the week prior, and the average of 81%. About 61% of the crop has emerged versus 43% last week, and the average of 52%. Winter wheat conditions fell 1%. one percentage point to 48%, good or excellent. The government said that's well above the 34% that earned top ratings at the same point last year. Global weather woes, meanwhile, continue to underpin prices. Flooding continues in parts of the Brazilian state of Rio Grande do Sul, where more than 150 people have been killed and over 600,000 have been displaced. Fields remain underwater after weeks of excessive rainfall. Man, the consultant cut its forecast. The consultant, Datagrow, I guess, cut its forecast for production in South America to 147.6 million metric tons from a previous outlook of 147.9, according to Rutgers. Drought through parts of the growing season and a May freeze in Russia likely damaged the country's wheat crop. The Russian consult, what is that? ICAR again reduced its outlook for domestic production, saying it now expects wheat output of 81.5 million metric tons. That's down from the previous outlook for 83.5 million tons and a month earlier forecast for 93 million tons. The USDA earlier this month said it expects the Russian wheat crop to be at a 91.5 million tons for 23-24 marketing year. Soybeans for July delivery fell 2.5 cents to $12.27 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was unchanged at $376.60 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.17 cents to 45.69 cents a pound. Corn futures were up a quarter cent to $4.62¾ a bushel. Wheat for July delivery overnight fell to 2 cents to $6.98 a bushel in Chicago, and Kansas City futures lost 3 pennies to $7.28¼ a bushel. I'm going to start either maybe tomorrow or Friday, and then we'll see if I can get somebody on every day or every other day. I'm going to start contacting some elevators, planters, Wheeler Brothers, some of those down south, and work our way up north as wheat harvest progresses, and get an update from each one of the co-op managers about how things are progressing, what are qualities like, quantities like, how things are just going. So anyway, I'll start that today or tomorrow. We'll figure it out. Anyway, let's see here. Got a text message from somebody. Jimmy Rhodes needs to be out doing a rain dance in his Cotton King jumpsuit. I hope he's listening. That's awesome. Thank you, Cordell, for all your input on the Cotton King. Inspections of corn for overseas delivery declined week to week while bean and wheat assessments improved, according to the USDA. Corn inspections in the 7 days that through May 23rd fell to 1.08 million metric tons, the agency said. That's down from 1.23 million a week earlier and 1.35 million during the same week last year. Examinations of soybeans for export increased to 212,105 tons. That's up from 192,000 tons the previous week. Excuse me. But still down. They're still down from 256,000 tons that inspected in the same week a year ago. Wheat assessments jumped to 398,904 tons. That's up from 228,000 tons a week earlier and 391,000 tons same period last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 36.3 million metric tons of corn for offshore delivery. That's up from 28.7. Excuse me. Anyway, that's same week last year. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September were at 40 million tons, but that's down from 48.5 million tons last year. Wheat examination since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st are now at 18.3 million. That's down from 19.6 million last year. Weather in our farm belt. Scattered storms are forecast for most of southern Missouri and southeastern Kansas into the evening, according to the National Weather Service. Heavy rain and lightning will be the main threats associated with the storms. More showers and storms are forecast from Thursday through Saturday, which may lead to localized flooding. Severe thunderstorms are likely in much of the central Nebraska. And large hail and intense winds being the biggest threats. The storms are expected to continue through tomorrow. Large hail, damaging wind, heavy rainfall are the main severe threats. Okay, you guys ready? Anybody want to win some tickets? I got some more tickets to give away to that concert coming up this weekend, which I think would be pretty cool. Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan, two beautiful women that could also sing. Anyway, it's coming up Saturday, June 1st. I got tickets. So here's your question. Here is the question of the day. Would you guys drive to Deal City on any given day to see Jimmy Rhodes do a rain dance in his Cotton King suit? So anyway, that's the question of the day. So if you want to participate and you want to go to the concert, please text in your answer plus your name, 580-225-9697. If you want to go to the concert, if you just want to play along with a comment or something, I'm all good for that. And you don't have to put your name in there. But if you want to go to this concert, it's a pretty cool concert. Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan at the Sugar Creek Casino, the Grits and Glamour Tour, Saturday, June 1st. Anyway, that's your question of the day. Would you drive to Deal City to see Jimmy Rhodes do a rain dance in his Cotton King suit? So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet and a Taylor Ranch break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
CNH Feed and Supply carries nothing but the best brands, including that tried and true Stillwater Milling, Crossbrand Horse Feed, Antler Max Deer Protein, and so much more. CNH also has a diverse selection of hay, and don't forget about those hassle-free biodegradable lick tubs. CNH Feed and Supply is a place to shop for all your farm, ranch, and hunting needs. CNH serving the area since 1926. Visit your local CNH and they'll get you all fixed up.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
They want you to see them as people and not just a number. They love when you know their name when they walk in the door and greet them with a smile. They'd love that. I like to hear people's stories and find out about their lives and get to know them. We sponsor in the community a lot, in the communities, in the surrounding communities. We just really care about people. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes here for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with your summer cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help address your soil health concerns. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, you know what I like about farmers and ranchers? You guys got such a, most of you, not all of you, but most of you got such a great sense of humor. Wait till you see some of these text messages I'm going to read. Anyway, let's do weather first. Here's your ag weather update for out in the Texas Panhandle. Dozer, 76 degrees, humidity's 53, dew point's 57. The winds are basically zilch out of the north at 2 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 4. I don't even know why they put that on there. But anyway, peak wind gust today was 16 miles an hour. 1.74 inches of rain has fallen in Dozer this month. And a month, man, it's almost over. It's coming up pretty quick. It's almost over. 8-inch soil temperature, 73 degrees. All right, my question, and you can still play if you want to. You can either answer with your name or answer without your name. If you answer with your name, you're getting a free pair of tickets to go see Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan at the Sugar Creek Casino this Saturday night. So anyway, my question is, in case you missed it earlier, is would you drive to Dill City to see Jimmy Rhodes do a rain dance in his Cotton King jumpsuit? I said suit earlier, but it's his jumpsuit. Would you guys do that? Man, I got some crazy answers so far. I'll read a few and save the rest of them for tomorrow or the next segment. Anyway, one guy said, absolutely not. One guy said, heck yeah, that would be hilarious. One guy says, I'd drive the party bus. And then the other one says, no. There are some things even God don't want to see. Anyway, there's more. But anyway, if you want to play, text in your name if you want tickets and answer the question of would you drive to Dill City to see Mr. J.R. Jimmy Rhodes do a rain dance in his Cotton King jumpsuit. So anyway, all right, let's do the Lipscomb Dealerships Ag Weather Update. Looks like everything's just, it's all over the board, but there sure is a lot of red on the board now compared to earlier this morning. July corn, 456, down 6.5. September corn, 465, down 5.75. Soybeans for July, 1216, down 12.75. August, 1217, down 12. Soybean meal for July, 370.40, down 6.20. August is 364, down 680. Soybean oil for July, 4586, down 34. August, 4611, up 33. And July was up 34. Sometimes I'm colorblind when I'm looking at the screen from this far away. Hard red winter wheat, July, 719, down 12. September, 732, down 12. Cotton's even down. July is 80.94, down 149. October's 80.05, down 159. West Texas oil, how much is it today? It's down 58 cents at 79.25. And natural gas is down, 16 at 242 for June. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ are all in the red pretty good there. Live cattle was up a couple hours ago. Now it's down. June just changed again. Hang on here. June, 183.25, down 130. August, 180.07, down 175. Feeder cattle for August, 260.12, down 447. September, 261.72, down 397. Lean hogs for June, 93.67, down 12. July's 96.22, down 30. All right, let's see. We didn't, today's Wednesday, is that correct? Yep. See here. Hobart's going on today, and then Elk City will be happening Friday. And I haven't did this in a while. I want you guys to bear with me here a second, but we're going to check out the sale barn receipt from Oklahoma and Texas. Let's start with Oklahoma from last week. 29,093 head were sold compared to 25,000 the week before, and right on track with last year around 29,000. Compared to last week, steers and heifers over 700 pounds are $4 to $9 higher. Steers and heifers under 700 pounds steady to $2 higher. Demand was good for calves and very good for feeder cattle. Slaughter cows were steady to $3 higher. Slaughter bulls were steady. Supply included 92% feeder cattle, 7% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. Just a few prices here in the steer compartment, or steer compartment, the steer department. Anyway, here's some three big group of three to four weights was average 381, was bringing 406 at top end. And then they even had some that were fancy, bringing 417.50. Some fancy five weights were bringing up to 380. And then some fancy, some more fancy five weights up to 330. There was a big bunch of 318 to weight 572, brought 342.50 was top end, but the average was 306.90. Get down here and some eight weights look like. Some 865s were bringing up to 256. They were fancy, though. And some fancy 9 weights were bringing 232. And then some 1,000 pounders weighed 1176, brought a buck 98. Let's get on down to the heifers here, if I can find them. Not really a lot going on with the dairy steers going in there. Heifers. Let's see. Make sure. Heifers were bringing 4 weights. Top end I see here is 328 to 331. Some 6 weights up to 277. Some 7 weights up to 247. And some 8 weight we're bringing up to 234. Top end on that. 9 weights to 218. I seen those. And then let's just, for the heck of it, check out the bull situation here. See what the big boys were bringing. Breaker cows were bringing, quite a few breaker cows were sold in Oklahoma last week. Looks like anywhere from 133 to 143. Boner cows were bringing anywhere from 123 up to 135. Lean cows were bringing anywhere from the lowest I see, 101.39, and the highest I see is 132.92. Bulls, actually not a lot of bulls sold in Oklahoma last week. What was it? Average price, 177.05. Top end was at 187. Over here in big state of Texas, not much action going on, but more than last year. 6,708 head were sold in Texas. 5,930 the week before, and last year this time, 4,400 were sold. In Texas, it says, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $4 higher. Sometimes up to $8 higher on stocker calves. Trade was fairly active on moderate to good demand. Slaughter cows and bulls were mostly steady. 84% feeder cattle, 12% slaughter cattle, and looks like 4% replacement cattle. And prices pretty much all the same. Here's some 4 weight steers bringing up to 385. 9 weights were bringing up to 231. And then on the heifers, we got, there was 228. The average weight of 583 brought 280. And then that's about it. Let's see what their cows were doing, if they had many cows. So I don't think, breaker cows. Actually, they did have quite a few. Breaker cows were bringing anywhere from 120 to 146.89, and boner cows was bringing anywhere from 115 to 139. 146 was top end that last week, and then they got some bulls. Their bulls wasn't doing quite as well as they did here in Oklahoma. It looks like they had some bulls ranging from 1440 to 19 or 2245, bringing up to 162. So, anyway, Stockman's Vet, as most springtime calving is winding down, it's time to prepare for breeding season. We're here to help you with your AI project needs and supplies. We can assist with everything from planning to complete turnkey breeding services. Also, as bull turnout is approaching, and some of us already have, please don't neglect to schedule your herd bulls for a complete breeding soundness exam. There was quite a few of them in there last week and getting the test. It's the cheapest and most effective way to ensure your next calf crop. Spring is also a great time to treat our cows and calves for internal and external parasites as well. We are seeing ticks and lice already affecting some herds. With the great cattle prices, let's visit, make sure we are vaccinating our calves to keep them maximized their health and value. We're here to help with all your livestock, horse, and pet needs whenever you need us. Stop by Stockman's anytime at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City, or call 580-225-0200 to schedule an appointment for after hours emergency service. I don't know what Taylor's tearing up there in front of her vet clinic, but this morning I drove by, there was equipment moving. I think her hubby was out there on a track hole, and she was directing him. So it was kind of comical. I should have stopped, took a video, but she's in the family way, so she might be a little touchy. So I won't mess with her too much this year. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break and Stockman's Vet break, and be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at everettwelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
If you've been looking for a good dealer you can trust when it comes to buying a new car, truck, or SUV, well, the Lipscomb dealerships have arrived in Elk City and Sayre, and we'd like to invite you out to help us celebrate with good people and great deals on new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, and pre-owned vehicles backed by a family that's been in the car business for almost half a century and always puts you, the customer, first. Lipscomb. Good people. Great deals. In Elk City, Sayre, and at LipscombDealerships.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May the 17th. 1,139 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 490 brought 312. 3 at 532 brought 308. 9 at 596 brought 287. 16 at 723 brought 260. 5 at 753 brought 248. 7 at 1214 brought 170. 6 head of heifers at 399 brought 297.50. 4 at 426 brought 296. 6 at 508 brought 276. 8 at 516 brought 285. 13 at 695 brought 240. 8 at 826 brought 218. 24 at 933 brought 197. Butcher cows were 103 to 149. Butcher bulls brought 30 to 171. Bred cows were 1150 to 2300. Pairs brought 1600 to 2775. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. I got a report from Visai. They got almost 9/10 last night. So congratulations up there. What is that? Ellis County? Is that Woodward County? Help me out there. Can't remember. It's got to be Ellis, isn't it? Anyway, hell, it might be Dewey. I don't know. But anyway, 80 degrees at Freedom, Oklahoma. Feels like 80. Dew point's 59. Humidity's 49. Winds are out of the east-southeast at 8 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 93/100 of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 76 degrees. Sunset, 8:48. 20% chance of thunderstorms today and 83 for a high. Tonight, 40% chance of thunderstorms, low of 63. Tomorrow, mañana, 70% chance of rain, thunderstorms likely, and a high of 79 degrees. That's your forecast. All right, see if this works 2 weeks in a row. I got a update from the meteorologist, Brad Ripley, who's the USDA meteorologist. And anyway, he's going to talk just a second here about the potential summer weather outlook. So let me turn this thing on real quick.
Back in late April, we were talking about the imminent demise of El Nino, which is a warming of the equatorial waters in the central and eastern Pacific Ocean, generally from the international dateline eastward to the South American coast. And we're seeing a transition that has begun already to colder than normal waters in that same region. And that is the opposite condition known as La Nina. So we're seeing this El Nino to La Nina transition taking place this late spring. And that is expected to continue, a fairly quick transition to La Nina. It's already underway and expected to be fully complete by late summer or early autumn. The official forecast from the National Weather Service is fully expecting La Nina to develop by July to September 2024. When we categorize El Nino or La Nina, we kind of break it into 3-month packets. So when I say July to September, it just means you average those 3 months. It's likely that we'll see La Nina by that time. The forecast team that put this outlook out actually expects that La Nina could form as early as June to August 2024.
All right, and then here's what he explains maybe the forecasted summer weather conditions across the country and how it may affect your crops and your pasture. So hang on here just a second.
Expectations for the active tropical weather reaching the Gulf and Atlantic coasts. We do expect to see that above normal precipitation during the summer, especially late summer there. One thing that a lot of the forecast guidance has been showing is that we are expecting a significant ridge of high pressure to develop this summer across the Rockies and the High Plains region. Hotter and drier than normal weather expected in the Rockies and the adjacent High Plains. Now, for areas that are already experiencing drought, places like the Northern Rockies and parts of the Southwest and Southern and Central High Plains, that does not bode particularly well because we have significant moisture shortages already in place, and then expectations for a hot, dry summer could be a concern for not only rain-fed crops, but even irrigated crops if it gets too hot. So that's one area that we're kind of targeting as a concern spot. But then as you move eastward into the heart of the Midwest and certainly the South and East, it should be increasingly wetter as you make that trek to the East and the South.
All right, thank you, meteorologist Brad Ripley. Anyway, there's a little not a lot of hope, but anyway, you kind of know what's going on. Also want to talk to you about where you put your water tanks in your pastures, does it matter? Sure it does. Even though water is the most important nutrient for livestock, as Dr. Taylor Mouse says a lot, it is often the most limiting. Forage intake will suffer if water intake doesn't surpass, and animal health and performance hinge on water quality and availability. In a recent article from the Ohio State University Extension, Dan Greger notes that beef cattle water requirements can range from 5 to 20 gallons per day, whereas dairy cattle can require up to 30 gallons per day. The agriculture and natural resources educator adds that monitoring water quality and dissolved solids concentration is critical, and the placement of water sources throughout a pasture can affect livestock production. High supply and optimum quality become obsolete if cattle don't have an open access to water. This can be challenging to facilitate in a rotational grazing system where one water source serves several paddocks. Utilizing surface water like ponds, streams, and springs present other environmental obstacles as well. We are often reminded of the benefits of rotational grazing and frequent movement of animals. Improved pasture productivity, increased stocking density, better distributions of nutrient back onto pastures, and a reduction of weed issues all sound great. But what about a water source? The amount of water that needs to be available at any given time in a paddock depends on the distance cattle must travel to drink it. For example, cows tend to approach water individually or in small groups if they are within 600 to 900 feet of a pond, tank, or trough. In this case, ensure there's enough space around the water source to accommodate roughly 3% of the herd at once. On the other hand, if animals have to travel more than 900 feet to get water, they will likely do as a large group and then concentrate in that area. This warrants a water source with room for 5 to 10% of the herd around the outside, and one that has a faster refill rate than the former scenario. Surface water can be subject to more contamination from mud, algae, fertilizer runoff, manure, and urine than groundwater sources like tanks and troughs. Greger suggests limiting access to ponds, streams, and springs with stones or fences to keep the cattle from laundering in the area and help maintain cleaner water. Testing the dissolved solids in the surface water and groundwater also will determine which sources are safe for livestock to drink from. Do not allow animals access to any source if lab results are greater than 5,000 parts per million. Water that is high in sulfur, magnesium, iron, and nitrates can also be dangerous for livestock. Most of the time, most farmers or ranchers, they wait till they can smell it, but you could actually do a pretty quick water test at your OSU or your Texas A&M AgriLife and maybe see it coming, get it done before you can see or smell it coming. Contamination of water sources with fertilizer or manure can lead to high nitrate levels in the water. We often think about nitrate poisoning in livestock coming from forage, but the water source is another possibility, especially when a pond that receives field runoff. Water temperatures also depend on water placement in a pasture. Craiger says animals will avoid water in tanks located in full sun that gets too hot and affects their daily intake. On a negative side, that is, smaller tanks with underground piping that can be replenished with fresh, cool water more efficiently are a better option. Projects that aim to improve water sources may be eligible for funding from the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. It's called EQIP. Greger encourages producers who are interested in installing fences or other infrastructure to contact a local Natural Resources Conservation Service agent for more information. If you got water sources and you want to improve them, call your NRCS people, and They got all kinds of different options, whether you like the red tape or not. Sometimes they got good options where you can build fences around your water tank for your rotational grazing. That way they got access to water all the time. They ain't got to go clear half a mile down there to one end and go through a gate and come back. So check it out. They're very well informed on what's going on out there, and they want to help us. That's what they're there for. They want to help. So check them out on the EQIP program, or just check it out. See what it is. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch break. When we come back, we'll finish up the show. And I got lots of winners for tickets today. This is good. I mentioned the world famous Cotton King, and the social media line comes wide awake. It's pretty cool stuff. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
If they call me, they're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order, or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you, we'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
If you're ready to take your high school events to the next level, Video Reality is here to help you do just that with LED video displays and scoreboards. Video displays add a dynamic and exciting feel to any sports field, gymnasium, or auditorium. Energize your scoreboard with instant playback and even ad revenue. Level up game day for players and fans with an LED display from Video Reality. Over 30 years of experience guarantee a game-changing game day experience. Video Reality, bringing video to life. VideoReality.com.
Do you need funds to make a major purchase, consolidate debt, or for home renovations? Come to Oklahoma Bank and Trust for competitive interest rates on personal loans. Stop by our Clinton or Arapahoe branch to meet our experienced lending staff, where qualified borrowers can receive affordable funding. We will work closely with you to understand your financial situation and lending needs. Oklahoma Bank is here to help make your plans reality. Borrow what you need for the things you want from your friendly bank, OB&T member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Attention Elk City and surrounding communities, we want to thank you. Hi, this is Amanda with Wendy Nissan. A big thank you is in order to everyone for helping us have record-breaking months repeatedly. And with that said, we are busier than ever and currently hiring two service techs. If you're ready to get busy, get industry-leading pay, and have a flexible schedule, come by or call Dustin. And don't forget, we have new Nissans that get 40 miles per gallon and interest rates as low as 0%. Choose the Wendy way today. Wendy Nissan of Elk City.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for, let's pick El Dorado, Oklahoma, since I talked about them earlier. 81 degrees, feels like 82. Dew point 61, the humidity's 50%. The winds are out of the east at 5 miles an hour. 24-hour rain total, 0.19 inches. 10-day rain total, 63 one-hundredths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 79 degrees. Sunset at 8:45, 79 for high today, mostly cloudy. Tonight, 40% chance of thunderstorms and 63 degrees. Rain showers likely all day tomorrow, 60% chance, 82 for a high. How about that? Anyway, Taylor Ranch. You guys heard of them? Great outcomes take planning and patience. Taylor Ranch beef is an excellent example of this. If you are ordering for July or August, Taylor Ranch has been working on these steaks for the last 2.5 years. They start with hand-selecting the best combination carcass and muscle AI bulls in the Angus breed, utilize top nutrition and health protocols, and give the animals the best possible care. The end result is a mouth-watering ribeye that gives you a great eating experience. That's Taylor Ranch. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. Quarter, halves, or whole beef available. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Call Mr. Jimmy up. Order some great beef that him and Tracy raised out there at the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County. All right, man, we got all kinds of winners. Let's see here. We had 8 winners today. How about that? That answered the question if they would drive to Deal City to watch Jimmy Rhodes do a rain dance in his Cotton King jumpsuit. Only one person said no. I'm shocked. I mean, I figured it'd be a lot more no's than yeses, but that man's famous. And then this is the craziest question I think I've ever been asked on the show. Hey, Jimmy, can you find out when Agriculture Day is at the swimming pool? No, I can't. You imagine having a bunch of farmers and ranchers up here at the Elk City, the new swimming pool, out there like on a Monday or Tuesday, because you don't want it during a busy part of the week. All those farmers' tans walking around, you'd have to wear like sunglasses and all kinds of stuff for the glare. I don't know. Anyway, nah, I'm not going to do that. All right, let's see here. What do we got going on here that I need? The hay market. I forgot to talk about the hay market yesterday. Let's check out some numbers real quick. Doesn't look like there's a lot going on, especially in Oklahoma, with all the hay being made. I heard some rye or wheat hay going the other day for $50 a bale. Ah, no needing that. Anyway, California premium alfalfa, $195 to $260 a ton. Kansas, $190 to $300. Missouri, $200 to $350. This is all premium alfalfa. And Oklahoma, $175 to $200. Texas, $300 delivered to $380. And I think that was the top end. You want to sell some alfalfa hay, you need to take it to Texas, it looks like. They're top end. They're giving up to $380 a ton for it. Grass hay prices, according to the USDA. Kansas, $175 to $200 per ton for premium. Missouri, $225. Oklahoma, none available. And Pennsylvania, $385. That was the high end I found. And Texas, premium grass hay running anywhere from $300 to $340. Now, rumors have it that most of your wheat hay is going from between $70 to $80. Good rye hay is bringing $60 to $75, and that's per bale. So whatever your math does on that. So about $100 to $125 a ton for that. That's all I know. That's what I'm hearing. I haven't sold any, but that wheat hay bringing $50. Woo! Anyway, I don't think it was too awful bad, but anyway, we'll see. guess they wanted it off their field. We'll see what goes on with that. All right. We did the water. Guess you guys know what Dr. Peel said about the feed report. The latest USDA cattle and feed report pegged May 1st. Feedlot inventories at 11.554 million head, down 0.9% from last year. This is the first year over year decrease in feedlot inventories in the 8 months. Feedlots typically see a consistent seasonal pattern in inventories with peaks in November to February period and summer lows in July to September. The average seasonal decrease from peak to trough has averaged just under 900,000 head in the past 5 years. The May 1 inventory is down 462,000 head from the recent December 23 peak. Feedlot inventories are expected to decrease seasonally for another 3 months or so, but the most important question here may be the extent to which feedlot inventories will increase for the next seasonal peak. So, there we go. The top four cattle feeding states all have May 1 inventories lower year over year. Texas has the largest inventory at 2.77 million head, down 0.7% from last year. Nebraska is number two with inventory at 2.51 million, down 1.2% year over year. Kansas is the third largest cattle feeding state with May inventory at 2.3 million head, down 5.7% from a year ago. And then Colorado is number four with 0.950 million head, down 3.1% year over year. The top four feedlot states represent 73.8% of total inventories and feedlots with 1,000 head or more capacity. Other cattle feeding states in descending order include Iowa, California, Idaho, Oklahoma, Arizona, South Dakota, and Washington. There you got it. So, on some sadder news, I don't know if you guys seen this, a Jackson County Colorado rancher was struck and killed by lightning Saturday afternoon. Multiple news outlets reported that Mike Morgan, 51, was feeding hay to cattle from the back of the trailer following a day of branding. When the tragedy occurred, the lightning bolt struck on wide open pasture outside the town of Rand, about 80 miles northwest of Denver, and said George Crockett, the county coroner. Crockett said the lightning struck Morgan, also knocked about 100 cows and calves off their feet, killing 34 cows and 3 calves. As best I can tell, it hit him on the trailer. The cattle were bunched up around the trailer, and it hit them all. Morgan's father-in-law was driving a tractor hooked to the trailer when lightning struck, and Morgan's wife was nearby leading horses towards a horse trailer to load them. They had just finished branding day. A Facebook post from his Cavi Foundation, a nonprofit helping ranchers with serious medical issues, said Morgan's wife was horseback about 200 feet away from the light when the lightning struck, knocking her off the horse. His Cavi Foundation post also said Morgan and his wife Nikki recently purchased 300 pairs of their own, a lifelong dream. Nikki calved the pairs outside this winter while Mike worked at Silver Spur Ranches. The couple have a 17-year-old daughter named Dallas. So anyway, prayers go out to that family. Guys, take note. Don't be Mr. Brave. When it's lightning and thundering outside, get in. Don't go hide under a tree. I think that's the worst spot. I don't think there's any good spot to get away from lightning. I mean, he was out in the open. There wasn't even no tree. So anyway, prayers go out for the Morgan family up there in Colorado. I hate to hear that. All right, let's see here. The virus, the bird flu virus, was found in beef for the first time. But it wasn't going to processing. It was a dairy cattle, so don't everybody jump to conclusions. The USDA's Food and Safety Inspection Service announced Friday that the bird flu virus was discovered in meat with a single cull dairy cow as part of the testing of 96 dairy cows. The meat was not allowed to enter the food supply and beef remained safe to eat. The Animal and Plant Inspection Service had diverted the 96 dairy cows for testing because federal inspectors noticed signs of illness during their inspections. So they caught it. How about that? It was a good deal. So in a statement, the APHIS said viral particles of the bird flu were detected in tissue samples from one cow on May 22nd of this month. To date, tissue from the remaining 95 dairy cows have tested negative. So no meat from these cows enter the food supply. So anyway, guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Share America and Elk City, America. See you guys.